May it please the court.
You may proceed.
My name is Mark Poston. I'm with the Office of the Public Counsel. We represent utility consumers in the state, and in this case, we represent the roughly 55,000 Missouri residential and business customers of Liberty Utilities. And this case involves the Infrastructure System Replacement Surcharge, which is also referred to as the ISRS. It's a surcharge that regulated gas companies are allowed to charge their customers for certain mandated safety-related distribution system replacements, improvements, or facility relocations. And we bring one point on appeal, and that's that the Public Service Commission unlawfully authorized Liberty to raise rates through the ISRS for costs incurred replacing pipe that was damaged or destroyed due to human action, as would occur if a backhoe were to hit an underground pipe. Our first argument is that a plain reading of the ISRS statute language shows that eligible replacement costs are limited to costs incurred replacing unsafe pipe that is worn out or in deteriorated condition. And the Commission essentially writes this limitation out of the statute. Under the Commission's interpretation, eligible pipeline replacements include accidentally ruptured pipe that was otherwise in safe working order and may have even been new pipe before the rupture. That's not what the General Assembly intended. In our brief, we provided the court with several dictionary definitions of the word deteriorate and deterioration, including sample sentences provided for context, and all define it to mean a gradual weakening that happens over time, not harm that occurs due to a sudden occurrence. The Commission defined deteriorate as to lower in character, quality, or value. And that definition supports our argument. When a backhoe or a boring drill ruptures a gas main, it's done far more than simply lower the character, quality, or value of the pipe. It's likely rendered that pipe useless. Only lowering the quality implies that the pipe is still functional, just weaker, likely due to corrosion or other factors that weaken the pipe. And a rupture does more than that. When a contractor tears through a gas main, does he or she call the gas company and report an accidental deterioration of the pipe? I don't think so. Deterioration of a pipe happens because the combined forces of time, the elements, and the material used in the pipe.
So if I accidentally drive my truck into a pipe and cause damage, the PSC would say that should be the ratepayers paying it versus insurance or something else?
That's correct. They would call that a deteriorated pipe under this order, the way they've interpreted it. Now, if you look to the Commission's lengthy gas safety rules, there's an entire subsection on corrosion with parameters as to the level of corrosion that requires a pipe replacement. And that's in 40.030 subsection 9 of the Commission's rules. An aging gas infrastructure prone to corrosion over time is what the ISRS was meant to address. If the corrosion causes a leak, that replacement is eligible under the ISRS because the pipe is worn out. If the corrosion causes the thickness of the pipe metal to deteriorate to a level that is thinner than what the rules allow, that replacement is eligible under the ISRS because the pipe is in a deteriorated condition. That's what the legislature intended the ISRS to address, two very specific instances of unsafe pipe caused by an aging infrastructure. Although we're appealing a decision of the Commission, the problem began with the company and their very loose interpretation of the ISRS statute. During the evidentiary hearing, Liberty's president testified that Liberty includes all replacements in the ISRS except those associated with growth and those that aren't yet in service. If that were a proper interpretation of the statute, why limit replacements to pipe that is worn out or deteriorated? The legislature clearly intended some sort of limitation, and the Commission's and Liberty's interpretations essentially render the worn out or deteriorated condition language meaningless.
Now, if I understand correctly, you're not saying they can't seek to recover the cost of pipe that's been injured by accidents and things in their general rate case, but they shouldn't be doing it as single-issue rate making. It should be part of their overall case where the Commission can weigh and balance the various extra costs and savings. Is that correct?
That's correct. When they come in for a general rate case, the Commission's auditors will audit the company's books and records, and they'll determine a proper level of damages, and they'll use that based on a historic test year, the amount of damages that were incurred during the historic test year, and they'll assume that that's going to be prospectively, that's going to be the amount of damages going forward, and they'll put that amount into rates. Okay. And so we're not saying it can't be recovered. It just can't be recovered between rate cases.
And it can't be recovered without looking at all the multiple issues.
All the relevant factors.
That normally are balanced by the commission in a big rate, in a full rate case.
That's correct, yes. And so the reason for the limitation should be clear. The purpose is to limit eligible replacements to those that address the needs of an aging infrastructure. And so while the intent of the legislation is clear to us from language used, that is further supported by history. And Liberty itself provided this court with some of the history that led up to this statute under an evidentiary hearing before the commission. And that starts at page 6 of the transcript, where Liberty's counsel provides the background for the ISRIS, and beginning with tragic gas accidents that occurred in 1987 and 1988. And according to Liberty, these accidents led to, quote, unprecedented action by the commission, including an emergency rule requiring all natural gas companies to conduct leak surveys over all steel service lines at yard lines not protected against corrosion and to make immediate and necessary repairs, end quote. That's according to Liberty. With no mention of pipe damaged by forceful contact. And next, Liberty identifies the commission's gas safety rules, which were promulgated a year later in 1989 and included the line replacement programs. So according to Liberty, this is the background for the 2003 ISRIS statute. But they also say that stakeholders at that time when the statute was passed grappled with how do we encourage gas utilities to replace and maintain their aging infrastructure. And here they're only partly right. While the issue is one of an aging infrastructure, the purpose was not about encouraging replacements. Replacements were already mandated. There's no need for encouragement because compliance is not an option. Liberty's witness, Mr. Caldwell, testified to this when he said there's no option by the company. It must be replaced, and that's in the transcript, page 55. But Liberty eventually did provide the true reason for the ISRIS at page 9 of the transcript when it quoted the commission staff and said, quote, the purpose of the legislation is to address the single issue of relief for natural gas utilities from regulatory lag attributable to safety-related infrastructure investments, end quote. This statement shows that both Liberty and the commission staff acknowledge the single issue being regulatory lag. It's about dollars, not safety. And it's about the regulatory lag issues created by the unprecedented gas safety requirements that greatly increased replacement costs for gas companies, costs that could not be recovered through rates until the next general rate case. The rules caused the gas companies to incur no new expenses for replacing damaged or destroyed pipe. When a pipe is damaged or destroyed by way of a human action, the utility must replace the pipe today just as it did before the new safety rules. Replacement in that instance is necessary to continue providing service. The sole reason for the regulatory lag issue was the cost increases caused by the requirements that greatly accelerated the replacements that the companies needed to do. And the appendix to our brief includes the Commission's 1989 order of rulemaking for the new gas safety rules, and the Commission addresses the opposition by the gas companies to the replacement programs because of these increased costs. And it was these large cost increases that led up to the accounting authority orders, or AAOs, that the commission issued between the time the new safety rules were promulgated in 1989 and when the ISRIS statute was enacted in 2003. And we cite to a number of these AAOs in our brief. They allowed the companies to defer their replacement program compliance costs to the next rate case because the commission found the large cost increases to be extraordinary. These orders do not mention costs incurred replacing facilities that have been damaged or destroyed. This is because those costs are not extraordinary. They're a normal cost of doing business and always have been. In 2003, the commission stopped issuing the AAOs for replacement program costs because ISRIS gave the gas company something that the AAOs could not give them, which was recovery between rate cases. So that's what the ISRIS addressed, this regulatory lag issue created by the prohibition against raising rates between general rate cases for the increased cost of replacing pipe. And when the commission sets general rates in a general rate case, the commission considers all relevant factors. Their auditors spend months combing through the company's books and records. These general rates are set based upon a snapshot in time, as I discussed earlier, meaning they look at all costs and revenues incurred in a historic test year and set rates accordingly. Single issue rate making, on the other hand, occurs when rates are set without performing a complete audit of the company's books and records. Instead, rates are set based upon a single issue or issues without considering all of the relevant factors that would impact whether the company is earning above its authorized rate of return. And the ISRS is an example of single issue rate making that's been authorized by statute. And single issue rate making was addressed by this court in the 1979 landmark utility decision of Utility Consumer Council of Missouri versus PSC, which I'll refer to as UCCM. And in UCCM, this court considered an order by the commission that authorized a fuel adjustment charge before there was legislative authority for that charge. And a fuel adjustment charge is similar to an ISRS in that they both allow single issue rate increases between general rate cases without considering the relevant factors. And this court determined that rate adjustment mechanisms, like the fuel adjustment charge, which would also apply to an ISRS, are a radical departure from the preferred method because the preferred method is the rate case method that considers all relevant factors. So we assert that because the ISRS is not the preferred method and because it increases the likelihood that the utility is over-earning, that exceptions to the prohibition against single issue rate making should be strictly construed to limit rate increases outside of general rate cases, unless clearly contemplated by the legislation, which we don't believe this legislation does. In conclusion, we ask to protect Liberty's customers by finding the commission's interpretation unlawful and reverse the case back to the commission.
Thank you, counsel. You have some time on rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court.
You proceed.
Jennifer Heintz for the commission. And I need to start by acknowledging a bit of sloppy brief writing on my part and hopefully providing some clarification to the court as to what the commission's finding in the case underlying this actually was. On page 15 of my substitute brief, I have a sentence that says, only section 393.10095A is at issue. When I went back to the report and order, what I found was that the commission actually found, and this is on page 13 of their report and order, which can be found on page 263 of the legal file, is that section 393.10095A and 5B, which are both statutory sections that give examples of projects that are eligible for recovery under an ISRS, those are not mutually exclusive. So a project could fit under 5A or under 5B or under both 5A and 5B. So that my brief more accurately should have said that the contested language in this case is only found in 5A of the section. And that language is the worn out or in deteriorated condition language that public counsel talked about this morning.
Thank you for your candor. I was just about to make that same observation.
Where is that in your appendix? Is it?
I know the report and order is in my appendix.
Thank you.
And at page 13 of the report and order that the commission entered. So, Your Honor, I found a mistake. I made it. I felt like I had to own up to it. So the commission was dealing with that worn out or deteriorated condition, statutory language, and when words are not defined in a statute, and those words are not defined by the ISRS definition statute, then you go to the words as they're defined in the dictionary. And the commission went to a dictionary, and they found that the word deteriorate means to lower in character, quality, or value. And the commission found that under that definition, a pipe that has been damaged has been lowered in character, quality, or value. Because again, the condition of the pipe is that the pipe is damaged. It's in a deteriorated condition.
Is that the only definition
condition.
in the dictionary for that? Because common sense might say deterioration means it's like depreciation. It's gotten a little worse over the years. Not that I ran my truck into the pipe and damaged it. Certainly that deteriorates it,
right.
Destroys it, but it's not necessarily the wrong assumption that it's a gradual thing on deterioration versus an impact or a sudden impact that might cause the damage.
Yes. I believe that the dictionary that the commission used, which was the American Heritage Dictionary, had three alternate definitions for deteriorate. The one that appears in the report in order and the one that the commission relied on is to lower in character, quality, and value. And we don't always know, the commission doesn't always know, or the company doesn't always know how a pipe that's damaged came to be that way. So it might happen over time. It might be a combination of the fact that it's an old pipe and it sustained a little bit of damage such that now it needs to be replaced.
Counsel, I'm confident you, when there's damages, when there's injury, when there's accidents, you've always, before this was enacted, you sought recovery for them. I mean, are you saying you always use the word deteriorated whenever you're seeking recovery for damages to pipes caused by backhoes and things like that? Or wouldn't it be more logical to use the word damaged or injured or severed or something like that? Deteriorated is commonly used in a different context. It means slowly becoming worse. You're asking us to very broadly interpret it and say it could include these broader types of damage, but this is single issue rate making. It's an exception to the normal rule. Wouldn't we interpret it narrowly, not broadly?
What the legislature did is provide four criteria, right, that must be met for an ISRA statute or for ISRA's recovery to be, or for projects to be eligible for ISRA's recovery, excuse me. So, again, at the beginning of your question, you said, wouldn't we seek recovery another way?
You're asking us to really broadly interpret the word deteriorated, it seems to me, to include and say, well, that could include damage caused by a backhoe or an accident or something else under some of the definitions of deteriorated. But the issue here is, it seems to me, is whether an exception applies, the unique situation. If you fit within this, you can get interim increases in rates. The norm is everything is done in the general rate case, and you don't do single issue rate making for the reasons noted and as long held by this court. You're trying to come within this exception for deteriorated or worn out pipe, and you're asking us, yet you can only do it if you ask us to use the broadest definition, it seems to me, of deteriorated to include things that in common parlance are not included in that term.
They are encompassed within the definition that was used by the commission of deteriorate, but they also, the commission found, met the four statutory criteria that any project has to meet if it's going to be subject to recovery in this ISRIS, which is a single issue rate making procedure, right? So new customer connections are not eligible. The components, the replacement has to be in service and it has to be used and useful, right? These are all very familiar rate making principles. They've been taken out and put into this ISRIS statute. It can't be in rate base. So remember that while the company is allowed to recover its investment, its interest costs, a little bit sooner than it would have under normal rate-making circumstances, they're not earning a return. If they want to earn a return on that investment, they have to come in and get a general rate case. And it has to replace or extend the useful life of existing infrastructure. So in other words, if your infrastructure is deteriorated, if it is lowered in character, quality, and value, and you can't use that pipe to serve your customers, it might slip in under D.
And it has to be worn out or deteriorated.
Worn out or deteriorated, or fit under B or C, because C of the statute talks about relocation.
But you're claiming here what you were dealing with is A, deteriorated. That's the issue before us now, isn't it?
That's the statutory.
That's what the disagreement is about here.
That's what the disagreement is about, yes. So while the ISRA statute does allow for recovery of certain eligible projects between rate cases, and in fact the statute says that if the company meets the requirements of Section 393.0115, the commission shall order in ISRIS. So we shall do it, and we shall do it in fairly short order. There's 60 days for the staff to file a report, and there's 120 days for the commission to issue an order on the application. But that doesn't mean that there's no checks or balances in the system, right? And it all comes back to a rate case. You can't have an ISRIS. It's a limited duration of time. You have to come back and get a rate case eventually. And the utilities, frankly, are going to want to do that anyway because they're going to want to not only recover their investment costs but also earn a profit. So it's a limited duration. Even if there is no rate case in a year, there's a reconciliation that happens at the end of every year so that if there's been under or over collection. So everything is subject to check, and this statute actually gives it subject to refund. The other thing the statute does is, hey, you know what? You can get this in an ISRIS at the application stage. That doesn't bind the commission in a future rate making from disallowing it. So there's always future disallowance.
Are these proceedings fairly common?
Well, the gas utilities can, if they have an ISRIS, they can come in up to twice a year and have these adjustments made. So I think that all of our gas utilities right now do have an ISRIS. They're not uncommon proceedings. And I do see that I have less than 6 minutes on the clock, and I do want to give Mr. Doherty his chance to talk, but if you have any other questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
May it please the court.
You proceed.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Larry Doherty, representing Respondent Liberty Utilities in this matter, and we respectfully request the court to affirm the unanimous report and order of the PSC, in which the commission properly determined that certain costs incurred by Liberty to replace infrastructure that had been damaged by a third party were recoverable through the company's ISRIS. The commission's interpretation of the statutory language is consistent with the plain and ordinary meaning of the terms worn out or in deteriorated condition, which includes damaged facilities that have been made inferior or have become impaired. And Judge Stith, I appreciate what you're saying, and that really is the crux of the debate here. And the commission, when the particular language is not defined in the statute, then you go to the dictionary. The commission used a certain dictionary. The Court of Appeals used the Webster's dictionary that I believe this court typically utilizes. And the made inferior or become impaired was what was focused upon. Now, to answer Judge Teitelman's question, yes, there were other aspects of the definition that come into play, but the Court of Appeals essentially said it's a very broad opportunity, broad definition that, given the commission's expertise, they're entitled to use. And
why is that appropriate in the case of looking at an exception to the normal rule? Wouldn't we interpret that narrowly, normally, rather than broadly?
Well, if there was no, I mean, what the legislature did in accordance with the UCCM case was put a new regulatory mechanism in place.
As an exception to a rate case, if you fall within these criteria and conditions, uh-huh. And they use the word deteriorated, why didn't they just say damage if they wanted damage? Because, I mean, do you disagree that in common use, deteriorated doesn't usually implies getting worse over time as opposed to a sudden event?
Yeah, it can mean that. I think it can also mean impaired, lessened in value. I think both of those are reasonable interpretations. And as I say, the four members of the Missouri Public Service Commission agree with that interpretation, one of whom was Commissioner Steve Stoll, who happened to be Senator Steve Stoll when the ISRIS law was passed back in 2003. And then the Court of Appeals looked at this same language and came up with a similar result. So I would certainly understand that reasonable minds may look at this language and reach a different result. But I think it's certainly within the realm of the statute that the legislature passed that is in all aspects very much tied to the general rate cases that appear before the commission.
If deteriorated includes a casualty,
I'm sorry.
If deteriorated includes a casualty, which I understand to be your argument, damaged by accident, why limit it to third parties? Mm-hmm. Why not? I mean, why wouldn't that same definition apply to an accident created by your workers or an accident of nature? You know, no fault of anyone. Why limit it to third parties?
Well, I think that was the issue that the Office of the Public Counsel put in front of the court and in front of the commission. It does not necessarily have to be limited to third parties. I mean, it damage facilities. I think it would be very unlikely that the company itself would cause the damage, but you know, if we were to do that, then ostensibly it could be recovered. I don't think that's happened to the extent that we would get insurance recovery as a result of that would be credited, but the third party damage was the issue that's been presented. And I would like to take a moment and touch upon the rate case stipulation that I think is very important in the context of what's before this court. I heard Judge Draper's admonition to the attendees of the PSC's legal symposium last fall in St. Louis, where he noted that this court does not like to be surprised concerning additional or subsequent actions that could reflect on or impact a pending case. And accordingly, our brief notifies this court of our recently completed general rate proceeding, in which the company reached a very important resolution regarding our ISRAs. During the days devoted to the evidentiary hearing in our case, we reached a partial non-unanimous stip and agreement that removed the ISRAs as an issue for consideration by the commission.
Well, you agreed that you wouldn't submit third-party damage anymore.
Pardon me?
You agreed you would not include third-party damage in your ISRAs.
That was a part of the stipulation and agreement, but as important, we also acknowledged that judicial review was ongoing, and we came up with an agreement to record a regulatory liability account in the amount of $111,149 to be used as a mechanism to preserve funds that could be used to credit the company's ratepayers in the event a court of competent jurisdiction reverses and remands the commission's decision. So this stipulation reflects third-party damage levels of capital investments of all three of the ISRAS filings constituting the Liberty ISRAS, which goes back to the initial Atmos filing, the first Liberty ISRAS, and the second one. And I just, you know, so with the issue settled, ISRAS was not even mentioned in any of the parties' post-hearing briefs, and the commission's report and order in the rate case approved that stipulation and ordered the parties to comply with it. So accordingly, if this court disagrees with the interpretation of the statutory language adopted by the full commission and the Western District and remands this case back to the commission, the applicable revenue refund has been determined by the parties and can be applied accordingly.
Thank you, counsel. You're out of time. Thank you.
May it please the court. I'd first like to address what counsel for the commission first brought up, the second ISRA statute, and why that does not apply to this appeal is, and I'm talking about 393.1009 subsection 5B, is that we've only challenged replacements, and B does not involve replacements. B involves some other type of improvement to the pipe, wrapping a joint or something like that that prolongs the life of the pipe. Subsection 5A, which is what we're challenging, is for complete replacements. And so that's the distinction. There was also a question, wouldn't it be more logical to use the term damage? And I'd like to point out that the term damage is used in the commission's rules. And I'm turning to subsection 12 of 40.030, where there's actually a damage prevention program. And what that is, that's where utility companies are supposed to notify, let's see what it says here. Each operator of a buried pipeline shall carry out, in accordance with this subsection, a written program to prevent damage to that pipeline by excavation activities. And then it kind of goes through the different requirements for that. It's like the one call and that kind of thing, where you get the call and they'll come out and mark where those lines are. So that's part of their damage prevention program. So there is a distinction between the use of the term damage. And I also like to address the statement that the company cannot earn a return on these investments until the next rate case. That's actually not true. If you look at 393.1015, which is the last of the three ISRA statutes, and under subsection 4, it allows the company to include the gas corporation's cost of common equity as determined during the most recent general rate proceeding for the gas corporation. So those are included in the cost that the company is able to recover between rate cases. And the last question that I'd like to address was why limit damages to third parties. We didn't look at our application for rehearing as limiting what we're challenging. The commission limited their order, but our challenge is to all type of damages that are included, regardless of whether it's from a third party, which generally that third party should be responsible for that. But it should also include damages that the company itself incurs when it's out performing excavation activities.
Thank you, Council. The matter will be taken under submission.